Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now. A show for veterans by veterans.
Good evening and welcome to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we are glad that you've joined us for the most important and entertaining show on the radio each week as we discuss the issues facing our nation's most neglected asset, the United States military veteran. And we've got a great show coming out for you. But first, we want to start by thanking some of the sponsors that help make this show possible.
We certainly do. We'd like to thank the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Viva Medicare of Alabama, the law firm of Godberg and Kimberly, Ed's Seafood Shed, the official sponsor of Tom's Tirade, Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens, and Johnny's RV, the home of the sweet deal.
And, of course, we want to thank all of our sponsors, and you are great listeners, because we could not do this without your support. So please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. And, of course, SBN is all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them. So you can always join in the discussion on Facebook, or you can follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN. Of course, you can always visit ScuttlebuttNetwork.com. Coming up later on this hour, we'll be joined by one of our legal eagles from the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Mr. Nathan Ewan. He will get us up to speed on all the legal issues facing our veterans today. And, of course, coming up, Tom's tirade on There Is No Justice in Communism. It's a good one you don't want to miss. Just stick around for the fireworks. And first, we are kicking off. It's a pleasure to be joined on SBN by a great supporter of our veterans, Mr. Nick DiMario from Ed's Seafood Shed. Hey, Nick, welcome back to SBN, and thank you for all that you do for our military veterans and first responders.
And I think now we have Nick on here.
What's
all right.
That?
You on board, big guy?
I'm on board.
I don't know
if I'm on the board.
Yep, you're on the board, too. All right. Good to hear from you, Nick. Man, a lot of exciting news for you guys with Ed's Seafood Shed and all the other restaurants that you own. Some of your places won some of the Nappy Awards.
Yeah, we are humbly thankful that, you know, we've had a lot of votes and people really enjoy dining with us. I mean, Pete's got Best Chef, well-deserved, long hard road to that point, and he's done a lot of other things, but it was just very good to see him get that award. And, you know, just innovative menu at Squid Ink, which that's what our goal was. And then, you know, of course, the perennial superstar Panini Pete's Best Lunch Place in Baldwin County. I mean, it's just it was like a landslide, and it's sometimes a lot of hard work and determination and just being really good servants pays off.
Well, it's that not only makes you guys look good and feel good, but it just tells me that all of your servers and workers and people that are Ed's Seafood Shed and Sunset Point and Panini Pete's and Squid Ink, that all those guys are busting butt and they're doing a great job.
Yeah, we have a great group of people, what we call our work family. And, you know, hey, we're not perfect. We work hard every day. We work hard and work, and it's nonstop hard work. Try to have fun doing what we're doing. Yeah, we're going to make mistakes. Yeah, we're going to drop a drink or, you know, misfire on a food item. But, you know, our intentions are to make friends through food and friendship. So we're very lucky. We got a great, great group of kids and individuals who work with us. And, you know, we couldn't be even happier just having them.
Well, I tell you, it's an awesome group that you have. And as you say, something you're going to make mistakes, but that just tells me, as being in management operations and sales all my life, that somebody's working. Because you know, you don't make mistakes.
Yeah, we got great leaders. You know a lot of them: Jamie,
right.
Corey,
right.
Luke. You know, all the folks, Amber, everybody that's working hard to. You know, make people feel special when they
right.
got to eat.
Right.
And there's a lot of different buttons to that.
It is. You know, and as where I was going with another deal, if you're not making mistakes, you know, they're not working. You know, if you're working, you're going to make a mistake every now and then, but you learn from that.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, tonight I was at Ed's. I just left a little while ago. A friend of mine from Tuscaloosa, he's a sub-legend. In Tuscaloosa, he's known a place called Subs and You, that Larry Anglin. He's a guy from the East Coast. Just for 10 years was making unbelievable hoagies and grinders, and just everybody would want to eat them. Well, he came down, and he's visiting us, and we're out there, and we're looking at that sunset there on that causeway. It don't get no better.
Right. That is so true, man. What a scene. What a afternoon delight by being able to sit out there and watch that sunset. And Sunset Point has the same view.
Yeah, they ring the bell. We drink Bushwhackers at Ed's and sometimes milkshakes.
There you go. Well, just try to stop the people from throwing food to the gators now.
Oh, I don't. We don't allow that. I don't see that happening.
Yep. Back in the day, they did. That was one of the big deals over there.
Yeah. We've got some spectacles. You can look out and look at that battleship up close and probably see a few gators here and there.
But, you know, it's really neat to see all the things that's going on. Did I hear you say something about y'all might be looking at opening some new venues?
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at a spot in West Mobile for another Ed. And then, you know, and that'll be in the next 6 months. And then we are going to be doing a food hall downtown in a spot that's going to be really cool. And we're going to bring our food to our spin to what a food hall is, you know, culinary wise, service wise, how it's laid out, the whole nine yards. Super excited about that.
That is just awesome to see you guys stepping out though and continuing to improve on your venues and getting involved in more venues. And you're not just selling one name brand. I mean, you're selling the whole group.
No, we got haircuts too. If you get a nice meal, you can go get a nice high and tight.
Right, you go, baby. You know, I got some guys that I've been bugging here the last month or so about being that need to get some high and tight, get all that old long hair off of their shoulders.
Melissa and Zach, they can do it for you. They're open on Saturdays, Mobtown Prepper on Ann Street.
Right, and they
got the Clippers ready to go.
They do an awesome job there, and it's a great salon as well as an outstanding barbershop.
Yeah, and I'd just like to say just a special, you know, congratulations to my partner Pete. Man, he's worked hard, and he understands coming up from where the bottom is, and I'm so happy for him to be awarded something that, you know, and not only is he a good chef, but he's a good friend, and he's a really good person. So
hey,
he deserves it.
All the above counts, man. I'll tell you, and he wouldn't be where he's at if he didn't have that personality and didn't have strength in partners like yourself.
Hey, we're Felix and Oscar, man. I'm not sure who's who, but
Amos and Andy,
kind of like you and Cal. What are you guys?
Oh, I don't know. Cal keeps saying, telling me that I'm 95, but I think he's really the 95.
And if he at 95, if he had your hair, would he be on top of the game?
Oh, he would be on top of the game, baby. He would be cock of the walk.
The Silver Fox.
There you go. Maybe I'll leave it to him.
Yeah. Hey, I'm still not the good breeding stock.
You're good breeding stock. Okay.
I said I'm not.
Oh, you're not. Oh, okay. Well, sorry about that. You know, I could pass on a few ideas if you need it.
Hey, no. It's a family show.
Oh, okay. Family show. Oh, family show.
Family
okay.
show.
All right, guys. Nick, it's a pleasure to have you on board, buddy. We appreciate you.
Always a pleasure, and y'all be safe. Thank
we'll
you.
Do it, buddy. Have a great one. Great one.
Hey, and as always, you can visit scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information. On the other side of the break, Mr. Nathan Gulen, Esquire, from the law firm of Gardberg and Kimmerly, when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Adam boys, give her the gun.
Hit a lick against what's wrong, or say a word for what's right, even though you get walloped for saying that word. Now, I may sound like a Bible beater yelling up a revival at a river crossing camp meeting, but that don't change the truth none. There's right and there's wrong. You gotta do one or the other. You do the one and you're living. You do the other and you may be walking around, but you're dead as a beaver hat.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Our number is 343-0106 or 866-983-2777. Hey, you can also catch us streaming on the app, which is for FM Talk 106.5. You can download that from either the Apple Store or Google Play, so you can get that app. You can check out all of our live broadcast as well as our podcasts of our live shows. And you can also check us out on Facebook. We post a lot of good information there. And it is always a privilege to be joined on SVN by one of our legal eagles from the law firm of Gardberg and Kimmerly, Mr. Nathan Gulen, Esquire. Nathan, I want to thank you for joining us and thank you for your service to our veterans.
Yeah, no problem, guys. Thanks for having me on again. It's always good to join y'all. So hopefully we'll get some good information out tonight.
Well, yeah, we always get great information when we're joined by our legal eagles and our sea lawyers over there. And I know you've got it's sort of a hodgepodge of topics tonight. But before we jump into that, do you have any information on where we are with the recent upgrades, or at least the for our Agent Orange veterans, where they were going to go back and basically recycle those appeals without the veterans having to do anything? Have we heard anything more on that situation?
So, you know, we have started getting some decisions in for some of our veterans that have received those letters regarding the NAMER reviews that are being done. It's been kind of a mixed bag in terms of whether they've been favorable or not, but I guess, you know, that's for us to review at this point for the denials and see if there's anything as far as any errors. But those are starting to kind of come in, you know, here and there. We're certainly seeing some movement on that. So it looks like, you know, even with all the claims they do have, that they are trying to prioritize these in a way that would get some decisions out pretty quickly. So if you are a veteran who received one of those letters about, you know, a review of some past claims under a case called NAMER, NEHMER, then you should, if you haven't gotten a decision yet, you know, keep an eye out. That might be something that will be coming your way pretty soon.
Okay, and thus far it looks like everything is proceeding where the veterans aren't having to really take any action on it at this point.
Yeah, basically. So what they're doing is, you know, VA has initiated the reviews And they're basically just informing the veterans that they're doing it. They're giving them a heads up, hey, this is happening. And a lot of times, I think, in the letters, they're essentially asking, we're doing this ourselves, and if you have anything, anything else that you think we should know about, send it in now, and we can review that as well, and see if that makes any particular difference. But, you don't really have to do anything at this point. Obviously, if you get a denial, if they go back and they say, we've reviewed it, we don't find that an earlier effective date's entitled, and you disagree with that, then certainly you'll have your appeal rights like you would with any other kind of rating decision or claim that you would submit. So that will work largely the same. But, yeah, you do not have to, actively file a claim for this review. They really should be notifying you proactively if it pertains to you. They should be notifying you, themselves about the review being done and then issuing a decision once a review has been completed.
Great. Well, good information for our veterans. One other, before we jump into these topics, C&P exams. I know at one point they had kind of shut them down on the face-to-face C&P exams because of COVID, and then they were opening them back up with all of the supposed spikes in COVID cases. Is there any talk of them shutting that back down again? And I guess that would delay these claims.
Yeah, so that is not something I've heard any kind of change on yet. As far as I know from the veterans that I talk to on a daily basis, as far as the ones that have C&Ps coming up, my understanding is that all, kind of upcoming C&Ps over, the next month or so that I'm aware of that are being scheduled for our veterans are going to be in person. And so I don't, I haven't heard of any changes to that. I'm sure if there are any changes, they'll be slow to come. So, we can keep an eye out for that. I'm sure we'll have plenty of notice there. But yeah, as far as I know, from the veterans I've talked to, everything is still kind of moving along as far as kind of reopening and having these C&Ps done in person. That's obviously a subject of change, so kind of keep an eye out there. But as of as of today, I'm not aware of any kind of changes to that. Now, if they do change it, that would potentially delay claims. It really kind of because most of these C&Ps. You want to have an in-person examination. If you have an orthopedic issue, that's something that a telehealth appointment is not, particularly going to cover all the symptoms there. And, even for something like a mental health claim, I always think it is probably helpful to have a in-person appointment if possible. So, I think that's something that could, if they do change their policy, it would delay claims. But that's something that we'll keep a close eye on. If there is any update, we'll certainly be sure to let y'all know.
Okay, and just a quick follow-up. With the C&P exams, you mentioned orthopedic. If someone has been seen by an outside doctor and for an orthopedic issue, or really, I guess, any issue, is it beneficial or do they have to bring records from that other doctor to the C&P exam, or is that C&P exam really there for that medical professional to do their own evaluation?
Yeah, so my advice would be, for a C&P examiner, typically that's not somebody you see more than once, right? You're going to go there for the one day of. They're going to do some different types of objective testing probably for like an orthopedic issue. A typical thing would be like a knee disorder where they do range of motion testing, things like that. So if you are seeing an outside orthopedist or an outside doctor, really for any issue, like you said, if you're seeing someone inside the VA, that's records that the C&P examiner is going to have access to regardless. But they do not have kind of proactive necessarily access to your outside doctor's records. They may send you letters requesting that you fill out forms to give them authorization to request those so they can associate them with your file. But really, it is best for you to be proactive with that. The more you see a doctor, the more credible, their opinions become. And certainly the more information an examiner has, I think, the better because, typically people seem to think that C&P exams are kind of used to develop negative opinions. I don't know if that's necessarily a practice, but it does seem to be the result a lot of the time. And so you can hopefully kind of curtail that and help your own claim if you are seeing an outside doctor by providing those records, because it would just provide more context and more, more detail for the examiner so they can have a fuller picture of whatever issue they're examining.
Oh, okay. Well, outstanding. So, you know, just a few sort of, housekeeping notes there. What jump into some of the topics that you've got. I'll tell you what, this one is just astounding to me. And this is, of course, the VA is always talking about reforms. Wherever something happens, they're always going to reform it. But this involves the Veterans Affairs Police Force. And there's some issues with not only the reforms, but also just making sure that they have the staff for the police force.
Yeah, that's right. So they are definitely having some issues. This is basically the report that I read. It's kind of a follow-up on kind of an investigation or an evaluation that was done 2 years ago. And the VA police force, you know, has about 5,000 officers and support staff. Is one of the 10 largest federal law enforcement organizations in the country. So, you know, it's a really big organization, and they are, you know, responsible for something that's really important, which is protecting patients, staff, and visitors at the Veterans Health Administration and other properties that are on, you know, those particular locations as well. So, you know, it's not an insignificant task, but really, you know, it seems as though for a number of reasons they're having issues recruiting officers, retaining officers, having a really high turnover rate, and really just kind of having issues in terms of making sure that their resources are deployed in the right places, because there's really kind of a lack of centralized command. There's really a confusion, it seems, in terms of who do I report to, you know, who's in charge of what issue if I'm having an issue, you know, kind of who am I to report to, who is in charge of the system, and is there any kind of central command? All that seems to be fairly unclear. At least to the officers that are kind of working for them.
Well, we got about 30 seconds left in this segment. Can you stay over with us till the next segment?
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. I'd love to.
Okay, great. While we've got the time here, how do folks reach out and get in touch with you?
Yes, absolutely. Go to our website, www.gardberglaw.com. That's GARDBERG. LAW.com, or you can give us a call at our office at 251-343-1111. We'd love to talk to you and see if there's anything we can do or any claims we can evaluate, and we can certainly make sure we get the right information from you so we can see how we can help you best.
Outstanding. Of course, you can always go to scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information. On the other side of the break, more with Nathan on the legal issues facing our veterans when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
And Cal Walters, radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back, and thank you for joining us today on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today.
And we want to thank the folks that helped make this show possible, the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, our sea lawyer Colin Kimberly, and all the fine folks at the law firm of Godberg and Kimberly, Viva Medicare of Alabama, Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens, and Johnny's RV, the home of the sweet deal. There you go.
You still got the pipes, dude.
Oh, well.
And the hair.
And the hair. Okay. I'm just blessed to be here.
I know. It's tough being the 95%.
But, I know, baby. I know.
Anyway, hey, we are speaking
Yeah, but you're the one percenters. You're the guy that's doing all the work.
Mr. Nathan Gill from the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly. Again, Nathan, thank you for joining us. Thank you for your service to our veterans. And, you know, prior to the break, we were talking about this issue with, you know, the VA, effectively the VA police force. And which, you know, I mean, it's not surprising when you have school systems that have their own police forces. But you're talking about a fairly large federal law enforcement agency. And in a situation, I'm looking at the information you sent over, there were more than 5,000 violent crimes committed on VA property in the fiscal year 2020, a 59% increase from just 2 years before. And yet it doesn't really seem like there is a direction here. And I know Congress has been fighting this really for decades. So where do we go?
Yeah, that's a really good question. It seems like the real problem is kind of with implementation and kind of having a general leadership and direction to kind of put those into place. You know, basically they referenced this this report from 2 years ago with recommendations on how to modernize the VA police force and different ways to hopefully improve that. But really kind of the big issue that Congress and you know, the Office of the Inspector General are finding is that there's really just a confusion about roles between the Veterans Health Administration and the VA Operation Security and Preparedness Branch and who's supposed to do what. And they're just kind of, you know, there's not really any clear kind of way to make sure that their resources are being allocated. There's something that's kind of referenced in the article about, you know, a facility may need, you know, 25 people, but it's really kind of up to whoever's in charge at the director, you know, to make sure that it's allocated and they pay for those 25 people if that's what they need. But there's really kind of an unclear nature to who's in charge and, you know, who to kind of go to discuss these things. And they say that's the Achilles heel of the VA police force right now, is that there's just uncertainty around leadership. So it's just really kind of nobody to take the reins and try to, you know, put whatever, you know, recommendations have been already, you know, they've already been given the recommendations. It's just they haven't been able to find a way to implement those and see if they even work.
Well, you know, the thing is, if it's like most issues that the VA encounters, I guess you could say, what they're going to do is say that we need reform and we need better training. So they're going to ask for more money to train people that aren't there.
Yeah, and the training is not necessarily all that. It doesn't seem to be like a real crackerjack job when they do the training. So it's certainly not a sure thing if they do retraining or update anything like that, where it's going to make a difference necessarily. It could, you know, obviously, but you know, that's not necessarily their track record with any kind of issue as far as trying to modernize anything and retrain. You know, anybody within the system, it seems like that is kind of falls on deaf ears sometimes, or the training that's given is not substantially different than what they've been told before. It's not creating enough change within the system to help benefit the veterans.
Wow. You know, it almost sounds like you have Leslie Nielsen running police squad.
Yeah, I would say it's like almost like Airplane, but yeah, just with a police force version of it. It is, yeah, definitely kind of a comedy of errors.
Well, that, you know, that's, I'm sure that's comforting for our veterans who are going onto these campuses, hoping that they're going to be safe. But anyway, thanks for bringing that to our attention. We can't solve it here, but we will certainly keep track of it. What about this VA home loan scam that's coming out?
Yeah, so I ran across this. I was just looking for different things. Obviously, I looked for topics that may be interesting, and this kind of seemed like a good kind of community service PSA to put out there. So I ran across a news article that, you know, VA is warning veterans about a new scam targeting money for VA guaranteed home loans. And essentially, they're reaching out to veterans, claiming to either be with VA or a mortgage company, trying to get veterans to refinance homes, do loan modifications, send their mortgage payments to a different address than where they've been sending them before. and also doing things like kind of, you know, threatening them and giving them lies such as, you know, their homes are facing foreclosures, that they owe late fees or are delinquent on payments. And so that's just something really to be aware of, so that people can kind of protect themselves. You know, really what VA or what they're being told to do, the veterans, is to, if you don't know the phone number, you know, don't answer. If you do end up on the phone with somebody and you're unsure, you know, certainly don't give them any information. And what they would advise to do is, if you're unsure if an email or a phone call is legitimate, to just not provide any information to that. Call the VA yourself. You know, call the VA 800 number, and they should be able to kind of tell you if that's a legitimate call or not, and then they can get whatever information is needed. So kind of a buyer beware. If you don't know the number, you know, certainly don't trust it. It seems like there is a particular kind of movement to kind of put these scams out there right now. So something I just wanted to let our veterans know about. You know, just make sure that if you're unsure who you're who's calling you or emailing you, it never hurts to just verify. Call VA, see if they're legitimately trying to reach you for any kind of information. And then, you know, you can kind of go from there, and they can get whatever information may actually be needed. And if not, you can avoid hopefully some bigger problems.
Absolutely. Of course, you can always do it. Some of my friends used to do, if they thought it was a scam or it was one of these telemarketers, they would hand the phone to like their 3-year-old and just let the 3-year-old talk with them for a little while.
That's a really good idea. I must say, if they lose patience quickly, then you know it's not anything you really need to worry about.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was always fun. But anyway, on to a more, legitimate topic. It looks like the VA is once again going to miss a deadline, and this one's for resolving these legacy appeals.
Yes. So in 2017, VA basically promised Congress that they would resolve all legacy cases by 2022, when they started modernizing the appeals process. Which I will say, you know, they're going to miss the deadline, but overall, I do think that the new process has been very helpful. So I will give them credit where credit's due. There, I've really enjoyed it as an attorney, being able to kind of customize what we do for our veterans, having more options. So that's been really good. But no doubt they are going to miss their deadline. In November of 2017, they started with about 472,000 appeals, and currently they have just under 135,000. They're supposed to get them done by the end of the year, but kind of like what we talked about in the first segment that I was on with y'all with, there are delays due to COVID based on, you know, delays in CMP exams. There was a halt on BVA hearings for a while, so there's kind of a stall in a lot of the claims that were out there, but definitely they will not be completing those. They do think that they can resolve it sometime in 2023, but they haven't provided a more concrete deadline yet. So just something for veterans to be aware of too. If they have claims that are pending, they're still working on those. They will, if you have a legacy appeal, you know, maybe a little bit longer before you get a final decision on those issues.
Sounds great. Well, Nathan, we thank you for being with us again. How can folks reach out and get in touch with you?
Absolutely. You can reach us by phone at 251-343-1111, or you can reach us online. We have a contact us tab at www.gardberglaw.com. That's Gardberglaw.com. If you have a rating decision, you know, that you want us to review, or any potential claims, we'd be more than happy to evaluate those for you, and see if we can help you in any way, and, you know, hopefully maximize your benefits with the VA.
Outstanding. Well, Nathan, we thank you for joining us. And again, thank you for all that you do for our veterans. Hey, as always, you can check out scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information. On the other side of the break, Tom's tirade on there is no justice in communism. All that and more when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret.
Mr. Tom Claxton.
One of the main characteristics of today's progressive Democratic Communist Party, led by iconoclasts such as Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Oh, my God! Like, hi!
Like, yeah,
yeah! Yeah, like, you know, like, yeah!
Yeah, like, totally, I mean...
I know, like, you know, like, totally.
Yeah, I know, like, totally, I mean, like, you know?
Oh, my God, like, you know, like, totally.
Yeah, I know, like, totally.
I know, like, you know? Anyways, like, last night, you know? Like, totally.
Yeah, I know, like, totally. I mean, like, you know?
Oh, my God, like, you know? Like, it was, like, so totally. I mean, like, you know? Oh, my God.
And his squad, emboldened by fellow travelers in the movement such as Black Lives Matter and mental giants like LeBron James.
Quite frankly, it's just in our community. And as a, I know people get tired of hearing me say it, but we are scared as Black people in America. Black men, Black women, Black kids, we are terrified.
It's to distort the standard language to your cause. In battlefield terms, deploy terminology as a weapon for your cause. Language that simply cannot fail to command obedience. I mean, who can argue with the, quote, pro-choice movement? Even when it stands for millions of innocents being slaughtered every year. George Orwell, who these days might as well be Nostradamus for his insightful dystopic novels, posited that even slavery could be sold if labeled freedom to those properly indoctrinated. With this in mind, in our current socio-political climate, who in our society could possibly oppose the cause, celeb, of social justice? I mean, who could possibly come out against a supposed just society? Part of the answer for me, and part that I believe is lost by most of those who have embraced the movement, is that for there to be justice in a society, you must first have a society that abides by the original concept of the social contract. Of course, in the anarchic construct in which we currently find ourselves, the social contract has been violated by those seeking its overthrow in favor of a great reset, abetted by politicians wanting nothing more than to retain their position of power in the new order. Having said that, in order to understand the social justice of today, we must examine the roots of true justice. Justice that arose as a revolt against absolute political power. You see, in a government such as monarchy, like as a king for those of you in 8 Mile, that has absolute power. There can be no injustice on its part because it can do anything it wants. It can't do anything wrong. Justice can only begin when limitations are placed on the governing body. When the people define what is unjust for government to do, history is evidence of this. From the Roman Senate to Magna Carta to the U.S. Constitution to the 19th century to today. Google it if you still can. Justice is when government cannot arrest citizens arbitrarily, sanction their bondage by others, persecute them for their religion or speech, seize their property, or prevent their travel. Well, unless you are in the grips of a Chinese scandemic and the quintuplet mask Fauci says so.
Who is the superhero? Sarge? No. Rosemary, the telephone operator? No. Henry, the mild-mannered janitor?
Could be. Hong Kong Phooey, number one super guy. Hong Kong Phooey, quicker than the human eye. He's got style, a groovy style, and a mob that just won't stop. When the going gets rough, he's super tough with a Hong Kong Phooey chop. Hong Kong Phooey, number one super guy. Hong Kong Phooey, quicker than the human eye. Tick a chong, tick a chong, tick a chack, tick a chong, tick a bow, chock, chom, and a bow, wow, wow. Hong Kong Phooey, fan-rific!
This struggle for justice through the centuries became known as liberalism in its very classical sense. Not the term used as cover for progressive democratic communists in this country. And it was precisely in opposition to this liberalism, truly meaning freedom for the individual, that Karl Marx formed in detail the popular concept of social justice, a concept that today has become a kind of new and improved substitute for the historical failure of Marxism. Socialism, collectivalism, oh, and Venezuela, California, New York, and the Chocolate City. Marx and his pal Engels declared, quote, "The history of all existing society is the history of class struggles. Free man and slave, patrician and plebeian, lord and serf, oppressor and oppressed, SEC and everybody else." While many of our indoctrinated sheeple have no concept of those terms from history. Today, those terms have broadened to mean essentially income bracket. It is still class warfare. Only now the focus is on the result. Not that you were born into royalty or the rough house. It's the haves and the have-nots. But even that failed to motivate the masses during the Obama regime. And so to maintain the illusion that classes still exist under modern capitalism, it can't simply be conceded by the left that the haves are responsible for their position because they have earned it, or that the have-nots are responsible for their lot because of their own actions. According to this fallacy, today in modern-day America, the land of freedom and opportunity and the American dream, we are told by the progressive left that people are what they become because of, get this, the color of their skin and, secondarily, their gender. I give you evil white male versus the victims from the left. That's right. Men of achievement, white men only, are pointedly referred to as the privileged, as if they were given everything and earned nothing. Their accomplishments are, at best, really nothing more than the results of the sperm donor. Consequently, the haves do not deserve what they have. The flip side of this is the insistence that the have-nots are, in fact, the underprivileged, who have been denied their due by an unjust society. We must move past equality as conferred in our Constitution to equity, which may only be given by government. To put this into layman's terms, if we treat people equally under the law, then the resulting inequality is based on their own actions or inactions. Obey the cop, go on your way. Pull a gun on a cop, free trip to 72 virgins, otherwise known as, ta-da, free will, just as ordained by God. Consequently, the only way to achieve equity of outcome is if we treat people differently under the law, creating special classes based on race and gender, with the government determining the outcome. So, you may be wondering why the old top cat is opining on such a topic as this. Well, it is because while this is happening in our popular culture, there are those in positions of power, a.k.a. the same sons and daughters of bitches that enabled this rot to occur in our nation, that are now pushing the same filth into the legal systems and good order of our military. That's right, military law may be on the crest of one of the biggest overhauls ever, with Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, Democrat from New York, rapidly picking up support in the Senate for a bill that would move sexual assault cases out of the chain of command. Gillibrand, once a darling of the Me Too movement, is no stranger in her attempts to upend the structure of military discipline, and the faux courage of MST is just the tip of the iceberg. The effort to put liberal civilian prosecutors and judges in the middle of the military justice system will do nothing more than undermine the command's authority over good order and discipline in the ranks. It will place service members under the politicized thumb of their political cronies. In doing so, it will allow the Democratic Progressive Communists to obtain ultimate control over our military, something that was never envisioned by our founders. It will be yet another step toward the animal farm of Orwell and the demise of this once great nation, and away from the true meaning of justice. For the Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Claxton. Are you pissed off yet?
Where's your drill sergeant, man? Understand that you men completed your training on your own?
That's the fact, Jack! That's the fact, Jack!
These are exactly the kind of men I want working on the Scuttlebutt Network.
To the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans. Transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Here on board, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, a couple old Marines with just a little bit to say, the First Amendment right to say it and the fighting spirit to keep it. And, you know, Tom, that proposal by Kirsten Gillibrand is actually advancing through the Senate right now. The Senate Armed Services Committee has advanced a proposal that would give the decision for prosecuting most felony cases involving U.S. troops to military attorneys outside the chain of command. Now, this is much like what we're seeing in Congress in general. They want to hand this off to an outside commission that's going to make recommendations. The reality, Tom, is, and we've talked about it, you've discussed it in tirades, the majority of these cases don't move forward because a JAG attorney, who's already one of those military prosecutors, has said there is not enough information to move forward. So the question is, why are they doing it? And it's just an effort to denigrate our military and remove those commanders from the chain of command. Kind of shameful.
It is pitiful, Cal.
But anyway, great show, Tom. I'd like to thank Nathan for being on with us, and of course, Nick. But that's going to bring us to the close of this edition of the Scuttlebutt Network radio program. Hey, please keep our warriors in your prayers, especially those in harm's way. God bless America. Remember, hero is not a four-letter word. We'll catch you on the other side.
Hoorah!